Okay. So we asked a few questions, right? The first thing was that we established, we said, what is the, how do you approach a chazal like this? How do you approach a maimar chazal like this? So we said like this, the man is telling you that there are three ways, three things, if you do these three things, you will never come to avera. Alright? So the first thing is to know, why three things, why not five things, why not ten things? I mean, how do you establish three things? What is the base of his formula? So we said that his formula must be based upon an in-depth knowledge of a human being. And once you have knowledge of the human being, so then you'll know the way those forces, the counter forces, what exactly the counter forces are. Once you've isolated and recognized the counter forces, then you will be able to give a formula to improve the individual by preventing the harmful forces from affecting him, right? So that's what the formula. So this formula of Akavi Malalo has to be based on the knowledge of human psychology, right? And that's why it comes up to three things. Okay, all right.
And how does he know that from Sukkim?
Yeah, the Sukkim, of course. Rashi brings up Sukkim, but the Sukkim, of course, themselves are based upon that. The knowledge of a human being are based on the Sukkim themselves are based on all the same thing, whether it's possible or not. So the first thing was, we noticed the Rambam takes that approach. Take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam says, Zeha estaklus mevi yodam l'day anova bezichrei me'ayin ba. This brings a person to anivis when he sees from where he came. V'estakle bacharisa yivieu levazes binyonei ha'olam. Okay, we stopped there. We took the first two. So the Rambam breaks down into two components of a human being. And apparently the two prime movers of the soul in the wrong direction is the man's ego, number one, his love of himself, his overestimation of the self, his ego, that's one. And the second thing is his involvement in taivas, right? So the Rambam says that the first thing that a person thinks about takes care of his ego, his overestimation of himself, and the second thing takes care of his nefesh bahami. Alright? Okay. That's the way the Rambam breaks it down. So Me'ayin Basa takes care of your ego. And Lona Taholech takes care of the taivas. So I think we said that why should that be? I mean, Lona Taholech also should take care of your ego. Because you're gonna die. It's personally, matter of fact, the Gemara uses that expression. Gemara uses the expression of brachas. The Gemara says that one time it says, if I'm afraid of a melech basav adam shehayim kanu mochar bekever, that today he's here, tomorrow he's in the grave. Allah has come v'cham, I should be afraid of melech malachem lochem. So you see that hayim kanu mochar bekever, it breaks the person down. So why does the Rambam say the first one is for ego and the second one is for his nefesh habami, right? Second one can function for both. Wasn't that the question we asked? Another question we asked was, why does Me'ayin Basa make a person humble? Me'ayin Basa, on the contrary, can make a person a big balgaiva. I came from, I had very small, humble beginnings, but look at me now. Right now, I'm a powerful individual. It's true. I came from a small little cell, but now I'm a powerful man. So on the contrary, so it leads a person to gaiva. And the next thing we asked was, why is it that when a person thinks that he's going to die, that this should remove him from the taivas? Truth of the matter is that there was a whole philosophy, the Rambam himself calls the philosophy, Chol Sekim Machanamas. The Rambam philosophy was that a person should eat and drink because he's going to die tomorrow. So you see the thinking we mentioned before, that when a person thinks he's going to die, he's going to be in the kever, so this can instigate him, this can impel him to be involved more in taivas. Time's passing by, you're going to be dead soon. I mean, you might as well enjoy yourself now, get it in now before you go. That's what the whole world, that's the whole philosophy of the world, people always say that. Do it now while you're young, before it's too late. Later it'll be too late, you'll be sorry. Right? That's really a very important factor in a person, in the average person's life. People always operate on that factor. Now it's time to enjoy yourself. Okay. There are three questions we had.
Right?
Actually, it's two questions. The first question, one question is, how do these two things work? Man, I am boss, it doesn't lead a person to be humble. I can't care from a small beginning. But now I'm very great. That's one. Two, the second thing doesn't lead to leaving Averis, because the person thinks he's going to die, so now's the time to live. Right? And the next question was, a side question, why doesn't the second one also work and then break down the ego? You're going to die. That should be a breakdown of the ego. First thing was like this. You see, a person's ego, a person can only have an ego insofar as he has existence. A person doesn't have, all ego is a ramification of existence. Ego is I exist, and I have, besides that, I'm not just existence, but I'm this and that, all these different qualities. So ego, as the prerequisite of ego, is existence. Right? So the thing like this. So the answer that we gave was like this. We said that the biggest blow to a person's ego is that his existence. The biggest blow to a person's ego is that he doesn't have existence. Now, all right, now it's a little bit abstract there. What we say was like this: that when a person thinks me ayin basa, came me tipos rucho, it came from from one cell, a combination of they created one little cell. So it means that the way you see, he identifies himself now as a great individual. Right? But when he realizes that the very property of existence that he has, that this great individual has, was never given inherently to that individual. But the property of existence was given to a one-celled creature. You see? The property of existence was given to through which he has existence. So he himself, the way he identifies himself now, he isn't even an object which inherently has the property of existence. He only has the property of existence because it was given to a one-celled creature. So that's the biggest breakdown of his ego. See, the breakdown of the ego is that the existence which he has, the very existence that he has, you see, is something which he cannot possibly associate to his to what he is now. But the existence was only, he only has that existence via because existence was given to a one-celled creature. So this is the total breakdown of the ego. Alright? But the question is, so the question is that we said before that a big businessman is always very proud of the fact that he was one time very small and now he became great. So we said that's because he can identify with that same being that was before. But a person can't walk around and saying, I'm a tremendous cell, I'm an unbelievable cell, I'm a fantastic cell. Because he doesn't identify with the cell. So the existence which he has was given to an object which he can't identify with. So that's why, that makes a person humble. Because he doesn't even have, as he is now, he doesn't even have existence. The only reason he has existence is because of an accidental outgrowth of this one cell that had existence. Now if he can identify with the cell, so then you'd be right. He'd be able to say, well look, I'm a great cell now. But a person doesn't identify himself as a great cell. So therefore, the property of existence doesn't even apply to the entity that he identifies himself with now. You see? That leads to humility, because the greatest humility is that his very existence he doesn't have. That's why Lana Taholech doesn't really prove humility. Because he's going to say that he's going to die, so it only shows you one thing. If a person's going to die, it shows you that the nature of his existence is such that it's not permanent. Fine, but right now he has existence. Currently have existence. See? But over here, it takes away the very existence from that object which he identifies as being so great. He only has existence because he happened to be a result, an outgrowth of something else, but inherently there's no existence to what he is now. See? That's why it's the real breakdown, man. I am busted the total breakdown of the ego. Okay, now the second point. Why is Leona Taholech a breakdown of the Taivas? Right? Leona Taholech is on the contrary. Acholosh Seikim Mochanomos. Right? Okay. So we said like this. We said that... If you take a look at the Rambam's Lashon, the Rambam says very interestingly, he says, Yivieu levazos be'inyone ha'olam. He doesn't say, Yivieu levazos be'taivos ha'olam. He says, be'inyone ha'olam. Because the truth of the matter is like this, that the taivas haguf are never enough to satisfy an individual. People don't do averis really, because strictly speaking, because of taivas haguf. Most people don't. The thing that makes a person be a chote is the average person is not plain taiva as a guf, because he's involved. Shatav b'taiva itself isn't enough to satisfy a human being. And a normal person would not be satisfied with just pure taiva, just to live like an animal. But he has to give importance to the things that he does. What brings him, what makes him a chote, is the fact that he lends importance to the activities that he does. You see, a person's a lawyer, so he says, well, law is a very important thing, I'm doing an extremely important thing. Person is a doctor of medicine, I'm more important than medicine, I'm helping people's lives. Mathematician, the whole world is mathematics, it's a physicist, that's the physics, that's the basis of everything. So the reason that makes it the business, the whole world revolves around business, without business is no society, no nothing. So therefore, what makes a person a chote is the importance that he attaches to those activities. The inyone ha'olam, like the Rambam says. Now when a person thinks of the fact that he's going to be offer rima v'soleah, That's the breakdown of the importance of the Inyanei HaOlam. How important are the Inyanei HaOlam going to be to him when he's lying in the grave? All these things, the whole New York City with all these things, what is it going to mean to him? Absolutely zero. So how important is it in terms of real reality? You see? That's the breakdown of the taivas. The Rambam doesn't mean over here the taivas, the plain taivas. Plain taivas gets very few people. Some of should go here maybe to find a college or something. But basically, even those guys also attach great importance to what they do. If you notice, even the colleges, it's not just simply there. Nobody comes to stomp taiva. Say, oh no, this is a, they'll have some type of a cause to fight for. You see, it has to be important. The importance is what gets the guy, what takes the guy away from the Tree Derech HaChayim. So this importance is broken down the moment he sees the reality of the grave. The reality of the grave removes the whole importance. Like I said before. So you understand? So this breaks down the taivas. But plain pure taiva, that very few people really succumb to pure taiva. It's always the importance of the activities. So it comes to like this, that the two things that cause a person to be a chote, the two main things, one is the overestimation of himself, and two, the overestimation of his activities. A person cannot overestimate himself. Look, I'm not great. But his activity is a very important activity. See? Those two things are the bring a person down. So that's why he says, if you see the reality of these two things, you see first of all that your existence per se isn't even, you don't even have existence per se as far as you identify yourself, or existence is accidentally a result of the fact that existence was given to a one-cell creature. So how important could you be? Your very existence is nothing. And two, the overestimation, you're overestimating, you say, alright, so what is where I came from? Fine. But now these are important activities. Nah, if a person thinks of the ultimate reality of death, he sees in the face of death, these things don't really have the importance that he attributes to them. Like a person involved in making money, he thinks he's going to be here forever, and it's a fantasy. But if you think, what importance is it going to have? Shvacha bekever miyagalach. The Gemara goes so far as to say that a person who leaves over something for his kids is a fool. Why? Because They left all this. You work for somebody else. Your own kids. Who cares? But you work for somebody else. So the Gemara says, maybe you'll think that they're going to praise you after you're dead, and they'll say you're a great person. You gave me all this financial security. So the Gemara says, Shvacha bekever miyagadlach. Who is going to tell you these praises when you're in the grave? You'll never be able to hear them. That's why all this idea, like Nixon, all these people, they're motivated by the right to be a part of history. Be a part of history. I don't care about now, but 100 years from now, I want to be a part of history. Shvacha bekever miyagadlach. You may be a part of history, but there won't be any you there. So therefore, the whole idea is a fantasy. It's a fantasy. That's what Chazal held. That's where Rish Lakish felt bad when he died. He left over a little bit of a kav of charuvim, I think it was.
It was
11 beads. It's more in the fourth paragraph. So the why? Because he worked the Azwal Acher Mechelon. So there's no reason for it. Yeah. That's a totally rational person. Yeah. The whole world of modern medicine, the important thing is going on, is going to go on for centuries, but my friend, where are you going to be? All this thing doesn't mean anything to you. To you, it doesn't have any value. Do you know what I mean? That's the point. All these... that he endows with such value, what value does it have for his life when he's lying in the grave? I mean, what value is it going to have?
You know what I mean? Gone.
Yeah, the whole thing doesn't have any value to you. It doesn't mean anything to you.
That's the reality we see.
If you wonder, like these doctors, see a doctor, 7 years old, he's working on these things, you know, but what good is it going to do him? I mean, what value does it have to him? What value does it have? So you're telling me, the only thing you're telling me is because the person does he's here for the purpose that he's doing because of the love of God. That's not talking about that. That's not an error. But that's not the motivation. If the average person is, he might say that that's the thing. But usually it's just an excuse, just something that he's incorporated into his life as a justification. The person is honest with himself will see that very few people are really motivated by that. Motivated by that? Who told him to do that? What are these other things he can do? The most important way, if a person is interested in helping people, the most important way to help a person is ideas. That's the most important way. Even the doctor, so a doctor makes a person healthy. What does he do with his life after that? It could be a waste of life. It's not the important. The important thing is only one doctor. That's the doctor of the soul. That's the real doctor. Like the Rambam says. The person is sick, he goes to the physical doctor. He has a chulei nefesh. He has to go to those are the real physicians. Okay. That at Sinai medicine wasn't given. But at Sinai the philosophy of life was given. Because without that, there's nothing.
Rapi
means you're supposed to go to the doctor. But the science of medicine wasn't given at Sinai. It wasn't given there. That was given over to man, though, through the centuries, to keep on experimenting and to prove medicine. But it wasn't given at Sinai. Medicine wasn't given there.
What?
Why God didn't give it at Sinai? Ask a question. It's important. It's true. It's important. But apparently God didn't say to do it. Whatever it is. There's a reason why Chazal say to us without the chuli, the person, his ego goes crazy. If there's no chuli, you need chuli to break a person down. These are God's cheshbonos. But the point is, you can live without that. Society, the world can go on without that. But the world cannot go on without terror. Without terror is impossible. Because that's the objective. Without that, there's nothing. Okay. There's two things. There's the overestimation of the self, and there's the overestimation of the activities. So the overestimation of self, there's only one real logical breakdown of the overestimation of self. That your very existence is contingent. That's the basic breakdown. The other one isn't a real breakdown. Because you say, oh, it's true you're going to die, but right now you're existing, you're something.
The overestimation of self is only based on
society. You say, I'm important because society needs me, right? And what is important to society? Who needs them? So therefore they're not important, so therefore I'm not important either. The importance of man, it's an inherent feeling. You're right. See, logically, you start asking different questions. But the overestimation of the self comes from an unconscious source, that a person feels he's great. For some unknown reason, they feel that there's something great about them. It has nothing to do with what he does. He's inherently a great being.
See?
And I don't want to quote it and to misuse a Maimar Chazal, but there is a Maimar Chazal that should be understood properly, but most people just take it for their own ego. Bishvili Nivra'olo. That's it. I'm the greatest. That's it. I'm just the greatest thing. So everything's for me. Okay. In other words, a person, Chazal meant it in a different way. He meant that it's true, philosophically it's true. That since you see that God did do certain actions and he wants this thing to exist, so apparently there must be some importance in there. There must be some importance in the scheme of things for man to exist. So man is an important creature. It has a certain importance, certain level of importance. Right. But if a person's ego, the real unconscious ego, does not need any reason. He's just great. Most people do not need any reason to think why, to justify why they're great. Inherently they feel they're great. And anything that comes along which seems to justify this notion is something which is always used, very welcomed, very easily accepted. You never have a problem convincing a person why he's great. Doesn't need too many reasons. He knows it. Anything you find is just another good reason why it's so. See? It's an unconscious thing, an unconscious feeling. Not something that's based on rationality. It's an inherent thing. That's why the Rambam says, Moed Moed have Yishval Ruach, as I'll say. Of all the Midas, this one, the person has Yishval. Why? What is Yishval Ruach? Because a person ordinarily just leans towards that thing that he feels is great for some reason. Jamida. What Chazal is saying is this, that this psychological aspect of man, that what he overestimates, he gives such tremendous importance to these things, it all makes sense if he would continue forever. That's the premise he's operating on. But once you remove that premise, the whole thing doesn't make any sense. But people have a way of living in which they remove that premise,
right?
Because they have the ability to do that. So that's why I say the stockel b'shlosh devarim, and you would not come to that trait. See? That's the thing. And anyone that knows knows people, especially in the business world, you'll see that it has to be that way. A person can't possibly be running around and thinking the tremendous importance of another business deal when in a few years he's going to be in the grave. It's contradictory, totally mutually exclusive. You know what I mean? It's only because he could suppress that idea his own reality, in terms of his own future reality, that he is able to proceed the way he does.
That's volume. That's false.
Yeah. So now the question is, but a chol is shaking machan amas, drinking merry for tomorrow we die. So you see that they took the same thing that Akavya ben Malalel said and they used it for the opposite. It was a whole philosophy. The Ram mentioned it too. How could it be they use the same formula and come with the opposite prescription, the opposite the results, right? What's the answer? We mentioned it too. Why is this lumakom rima, offer rima v'saleya? Because that's something that a person looks down on as worthless, the most worthless thing. So you are going to be the most, in your frame of mind now, isn't that the most worthless thing?
It's worse.
Because the absence of life alone, a person can, it doesn't really hit him like that. See? But this is something where he says, you, in your frame of reference now, what is Rima Saleya? What is it? It's nothing. There's stuff on it. It's nothing. This is what you're going to be. So your frame of reference is completely contradictory in terms of reality. That's what he said. The true person, the true realist has to be the real reality. Real realist is the person that has this reality. Doesn't have this reality, he's not a realist. Really, the whole yahadis is that a person should live realistically. That's all the whole yahadis. But people don't live realistically. Their realistically is realistic, except there's one thing that they have to be unrealistic about. Then they can be very realistic. That's when people tell you, they criticize the person that's learning, you're not realistic. You're not realistic. To them, realistic means realistic But being unrealistic, once you're unrealistic about one fact, then you should be realistic about all the other things. See? That's it's based on one total denial. Deny one reality, and then be realistic in the next framework that was constructed by the denial of that reality. What's your story? Revel told them we prepare our students for life. He said, yeah, enough of that. That's the thing. Okay. But look, all right, next case. Now, the person's ego is not based on reality. Reality is something which is used by the ego to justify the feeling that it has about itself. But it doesn't. If it came from reality, people would be in line with it. You wouldn't find people with crazy egos. Why are they crazy? The reason why the ego is crazy is because inherently it's a certain drive, a certain unconscious thing. Something that he doesn't know himself where it comes from. It's something that they feel, the senses. Then everything in reality starts attributing to them.
Right.
The answer is like this. The answer is that the Echolish Seki Machano, when they say that let's drink and be merry because tomorrow we're going to die, they don't say that they're not advising you to live with the specter of death facing you. You see? Their recommendation is forget about death. That's their recommendation. They say, since you're going to die and you want to have the taivas, so their advice is on the contrary. Their advice is to do exactly what everybody does. To repress the idea of death and enjoy your life. You see? That's their philosophy. But Akavi ben Malalel says no. Akavi ben Malalel says that on the contrary, a person should always have this in front of him, the concept of death. If he has a concept of death in front of him, you can't be a cholish sheikh and machanamas. A person can't have a big party, come to a big party, he knows that the next day he's going to be dead. He's going to die in a day. Unless he's not normal. A normal person can only enjoy these things if he represses the idea of death. Their philosophy is, on the contrary, repress death. And then you can enjoy life because it's all good. This is all there is. So forget about it. Block this reality out. That's why Kevin Malal says no. If a person wants to remove chait, on the contrary, he has to always have in front of him the ultimate reality. Kevin Malal is giving you a prescription for living in a way that a person is always in line with reality. That's the thing. The Echol Sheki Machanamas is a philosophy which tells you to avoid reality, to hide, not to face reality. A person can't have a big mishta when he knows tomorrow is all over. A person can only enjoy a mishnah when he thinks it's going to go on forever. Forget about that. So kimacha nomus over there, it's true, it's based upon the same fact, but the way you look, what the prescription is two different prescriptions. If you're going to say, because of that fact, so therefore I should repress the idea of death, that's a chol shei kimacha nomus. But Kavim Malal is saying on the contrary, if you have these three things in front of you, you will not be bondedei avera. The person knows he's going to die. That's impossible to be a chol shei while you know you're going to die. You understand what I mean? That's an impossibility. A person can't do that. That's not normal. So now the question is, now I'll get to this point. Now the question is, so what's the third thing? Okay, what does Din V'Cheshbon mean? Din V'Cheshbon means one thing. It means that whatever a person does in this world has an effect. It's going to be permanent in the next world. Right? Lifnei Melech Malchei Amlochem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Things like this. We asked also why Lefnei Melech Malchei Amlochem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lefnei Hashem. Lefnei Miyat Lefnei Hashem. What's Melech Malchei Amlochem? So we said like this. We said because these two things, if a person knocks out the two things that he has, these two drives, he's left with nothing. He'll be in total depression. There's no, I'm going to die, so therefore there's no reason to be Osek and Yon. All of them have no value except insofar as I have to exist. I mean, but beyond that is ridiculous. And then the other thing was his own greatness is nothing. He's just a creature that happens accidentally to have existence, to be here because a certain accidental occurrence that took place. I mean, so this is so this makes him into a nothing. So then he will go into total depression. So therefore, Kavim Malal says you need a third thing. Third thing is a positive thing. These emotions that you have about your importance and about the importance of activities, God gave those emotions because in reality they do have a place. But the place is only in the world of the soul, not in the world of the physical. In the world of the physical, these emotions make no sense. Because it's just a physical life, and it's just an accidental thing, so therefore you have an existence accidentally from a one-cell thing. But if the purpose of life is because of the soul, then the emotions have value. So all these emotions that men have were created by God because they really do have a place. But the place is only in the world of the soul. That's why it says, "Lefnei Melech Malchei Amlochem HaKadosh Baruch Hu." A person will recognize the fact that he himself is going; he's going to be Lefnei Melech Malchei Amlochem in an eternal situation where his soul will be in a certain state, and he has a relationship with the author, the one who created the universe, right? So then he feels. Then the feeling of importance is there. It's true; there is a feeling of importance, but only in that realm, in the realm of the soul. of the metaphysical, there is the value. All these values, these emotions that people have, only make sense in one realm. Then it's not bodo devera, you see. But if you don't have that left thing, then you'll be bodo devera. They come like you said, because their life is empty, life is worthless. That's what happens. What happens is like this. They can't. That's why that philosophy occurs, because they can't live with the spect of death, because they need to have depression. And if you feel you're worthless, and there's no, then you're in depression, right? So that what they have to do is a chol shekim machanam. Since it's worthless, so we have to forget about death, and therefore we have to have we have to live. You see, that's an unrealistic life. So Akavim Malal says no. The way to live is not to abandon reality. On the contrary, reality should, you should live with reality, but there is one real reality, the reality of the soul. That's where those emotions should be. You see? So the emotions that were given to us by God were given to us for a reason, because they do have a place, but the place is only in the real world, the world of the soul. In regard to the physical, it's Afarim of Saleya, and it's Me'ayim Basa. You follow? Okay. You understand very well it has to be that way, because otherwise say, what do you mean I am basa mitipas rucha? Sure, I can't be mitipas rucha, but that was God's will. If it's in terms of God's will, so then God's will, you're talking about the soul. Yes, God's will, let's talk about God's will, it's for the soul. But if you do not discuss it in terms of God's will, then it's just an accidental occurrence. A physical creature that happened to accidentally have existence, you see. So Rakavim Malal is like this. First thing is like this. Sur Meirov Aseitev. The first thing is to show that all those instincts which lead a person to a life of evil, that based upon his overestimation of himself or overestimation of his taivas, you see, that is not in reality. That's the first thing. But now the question is, psychologically, how does a person exist? Where is the reality? There has to be some reality. To wind up in depression is no good, right? The reality is, everything you do, your soul does have importance, because you see the importance of the soul. The fact that God will it brings a person to the cheshbon. There is an eternity that a person's soul will exist with later, in relationship to God. That eternity exists in, you see, that does have importance. So the emotions really are valid, but they're valid in relationship to the world of the soul, not in relationship to the world of the physical. That's the formula. That's the formula. With that formula, the person can be a chayt if he has that formula. Yes? The formula for the three things are like this. First of all, the breakdown of the taivas, but then the breakdown of the taivas isn't enough, because that leads the person nowhere. So there's a positive application of his psychological makeup to the real reality. That's a kind of a
lot.
The last thing I want to say was, yes, the last thing I want to say was, if you take a look at this lashon, a kavim malal omer has stakel b'shloshet dvarim v'yeta bal de'avera da me'ayin basa. Why is stakel first and then da? Why don't you just say da shloshet dvarim v'yeta bal de'avera or stakel b'shloshet dvarim? What is this? What are the two verbs, stakel and da? What? There's two types of knowledge. The two types of knowledge are this. First, the person notices, has an idea of something, you see, but his whole makeup doesn't really follow the idea. You see? He can reflect at a certain time, he sees it. That's his stakel. Stakel, look at it. But it doesn't really mean it's actually a part of him. Da means when his whole being is in line with that knowledge. So there's really two stages. He had to say estakel and then da, because he's giving you a formula for perfection. The formula for perfection is first estakel. First look, understand, see what it is. But through, that's not enough. The ultimate perfection is the da. When the person reaches the level that it's really a part of him to such an extent that it can't leave him at any time.
Internalize.
Yeah, right, internalize, right. So from the estakel to the da is a long trip. But if a person goes from the, if a person makes that trip, then he will not be bodo devera. See? But it has to start off with a stakel. Starts off with a stakel, and ultimately it culminates in da. Once he has da, then he can't be a chayt anymore.
Okay.
Now the next thing is Rabbi Chanina, right? Rabbi Chanina, skana koinim oimer, have mispal b'shlema shal malchus shal molim ro'o ish esrei chayim below. If it wasn't for the fear of the malchus, then one person would swallow up another person. So the first thing we said was, that was last week, we said that you see three important psychological principles from Rabbi Chanina, skana koinim. I think I mentioned last week. One is that a person is inherently evil. One, because each guy would destroy the other guy. That's one. Chayim b'loy, you actually destroy his life. Take him away, swallow him up. The second thing is that a person is unaware of this. Because if the average person, if the average citizen, you ask him why you're good, he will not say because I'm afraid of the malchus, he'll say because I'm a nice guy. So you see that a person is not aware of it. And the third thing is that a person misappropriates the causes of his actions. Because being unaware is one thing, I don't know why. But when a person thinks it's something and it really is something else, that's a further distance from the truth. You see? So that's Rabbi Chanina's Gan HaKohen. From Rabbi Chanina's Gan HaKohen, we see these three principles. A person is inherently evil. He doesn't know he's inherently evil. And he thinks that the reason why he does something is because of a certain cause. In reality, it's because of another cause. Okay? That's why it's so difficult to correct the person. So difficult. Because he always can correlate it to another thing. He always has something to correlate it to. No, I'm good because of this, because of that. To be honest with himself is almost a possibility because of the way the psychological mechanisms work. There was an experiment, a psychological experiment that proves it. They took a person, they hypnotize him, and they tell him that in another hour or two you're going to do a certain action, standing your head in front of everybody. So then they give him a suggestion you should forget about it. The person does the action, and they ask him, say, hey, why'd you do that? He doesn't know why, because he's already been blotted out from the unconscious. He'll give some reason. Some reason, some crazy reason, has nothing to do with it. Because a person has to always find a reason. He has to rationalize why.
He gives a reason.
I did it because I felt now I wanted people to be happy. Some crazy reason. I want to scratch my head. You know, some nutty reason. Person will always, it's a psychological truism. It is that way. That's the same thing over here. Person is good. He can't just say, he doesn't know why. It's the fear of the malchus, but that's out of his mind. So therefore, he'll say, no, because of this. That's why it's so hard for a person to really, real greatness in a person demands that he knows he's honest with his emotions. That's a very hard thing to do. Very hard thing for a person to do. It's against the part of his nature. It's against the part of his nature. What? Okay, now we said yesterday, we said like this. We said, what is the essence of Rabbi Chanina's Gan HaKohen in his memory, though? That's true, that these three psychological things could be deduced from his memory. What is the essence of his memory? It's in his spal for Shleim Malchus. So Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonah both say that a person has to be concerned about the malchus. Doesn't just mean his own malchus. It means malchus all over the world. Rashi brings down from the Shivim Purim that they were makriv on Sukkos. They were makriv that for the Umos Olam, Rashi says. Chazal say. They were makriv for the Umos Olam. And the Rabbeinu Yonah is the same thing. That a person must be concerned not just with his malchus, must be concerned with every malchus. A person should be misfalo. Halacha. A person is misfalo that there should be peace in France. What does he care? What does that do with me? So he says, Rabbeinu Yonah says, because a person is not supposed to be misfalo only for himself. He has to misfalo for everybody. Even God. What does it mean? It's a lack in a person. If a person does not really, isn't really misfalo for Shlomo Malchus, not concerned what's happening in China, what's not concerned what's happening in other parts of the globe, other human beings, it's a lack in himself. A lack in the individual. A person has to sense this. He should hope that there's peace for the Malchus. Okay. So, if he doesn't, he's lacking something.
But he's really concerned with himself.
That's the wrong reason. Oh, by the way, I left something out. This is the Rav one time mentioned. That Mispal B'Shalom Malchus is the lesser of two evils. What does it mean, Mispal B'Shalom Malchus? Mispal for the goodness of the Malchus, right? What does it mean? It means like this. You might think you shouldn't Mispal for the goodness of the Malchus. Why? Because the Malchus are selfish people when they do everything for themselves. They're no good. And it's true, they're his base motives. But you have to be a Chacham. Why? Because you're better off with them than without them. Better off with them than without them. Because without them, each guy would be killing you, the other one. You know what I mean? That's true. So the truth of the matter is that he's saying, what Chanina's Gan HaKohen is saying is that they're Rishoyim, the heads of state are Rishoyim. Rav Sosalot, the brother, right? He says, why do people keep, same thing. He says, why do people keep the, why are people good? Because of the law, right? He says, the best right is that the ones who are on top don't keep the law. Because there's nobody on top of them. It's true. Rishloim Malchus. So Shloim Malchus is that they're doing it for their own reason. They want power. That's all they want. They want, they're not interested in improving. So the Malchus is so generous, they're interested in improving the whole world. That's the purpose. No, the purpose is power, money, fame, all the wonderful titles. But he says that you should be responsible for them. Why? Because without them, it's worse. So there's two things. That's one thing in his memory. And the second thing is like Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonah say, that it's a lack in a person if he's not concerned with what happens somewhere else. The question is why? Even if it has nothing whatsoever to do with me. So we said like this. We said that, no, even for Goyim, because it says by the base of Mikdash, they will makrif Shivim Kvasa, Shivim Parim, they will makrif. The Gemara says, the Chazal say that if the Goyim would know how good the base of Mikdash was for them, they would have surrounded it with legions to keep it alive. Because they were makrif every year for the Shivim Umos, at the Shech Peace. So, but they didn't know, they were ignorant fools, they destroyed something which was more beneficial for them than it was for us, the Gemara says. Because when a guy came to the base of Mikdash to be Mispal, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to his tefillah regardless, whether it was Zecha or what it wasn't Zecha. Gemara says, but by Yisrael only for Zecha. So they didn't know this. So they destroyed it.
You had to
see? Yeah. So the reason is. The reason is because true Avas Hashem dictates that a person must love every one of his creatures. Because every creature is a reflection of God. If this is an act, this is something which is produced by God, right? Now it's God's will that this creature should exist. So therefore, if you don't have that, if you don't have that feeling towards that creature, not because of the creature himself, but because the creature is a reflection of God. So if you don't have that feeling, that means you're lacking in Avas Hashem. That's the real. The real Avas Hashem is, because the real Avas Bein Adam L'Chaveiro is all Akim in Avas Hashem. See? Ultimately, it's all Akim in Avas Hashem. Not just an emotional thing. Emotional thing is emotional relationships. Emotional relationships only are very, very limited. They're limited. That's why a person can associate with people in Africa, or other people, the black races, yellow races. Why? Because he can't associate with them because there's no identification, so he doesn't have that feeling. But the true Avas Hashem is, surpasses all of that. True Avas Hashem is that he's a creature of God, and God wants him to exist, and God wants him to exist in the best possible way. If you don't have that feeling, that means you're lacking in Avas Hashem. You're lacking in your relationship to God. That's why having Mespal B'Shloim Malchus, if a person is not Mespal B'Shloim Malchus, but that's what Rashi Ben Yehuda learned. No, it depends on the Malchus. I mean, it says, if it's Malchus Rishi, not Mespal B'Shloim Malchus exists. That's Malchus Zadayin. But if it's a regular Malchus, even though it's bad, they do it for their own reasons, but it still is better for humanity, for that society to exist, they're existing in a better state, you should Mespal for them. If you're not Mespal for them, then you're lacking in Avas Hashem. That's the Ma'isi Yadot Tava B'Yom, the same thing with the Mitzrim. If a person doesn't have that, then he doesn't sense that. So then he's lacking in Avas Hashem, because this was God's actions. God wants him to exist. Because your tefillah has to be for the ultimate perfection. The ultimate perfection is not that the guy should be sick, it's that he should be doing the mitzvahs and be living correctly. That's what your tefillah should be for. The ultimate perfection. Because since you have Avas Hashem, so you want the ultimate perfection. Being sick is not the ultimate perfection. My perfection in this case, we have to misspell that he should be able to live through. He should be able to reach the to live in the ultimate way of perfection. Okay. And that's what amazes me. There's a person reading the newspaper that there's a war in France and breaking up the whole country in Italy now. You see in Italy now. The whole country is breaking, is blowing apart. Have Mispal B'Shloim Malchus? It's Chayiv. And if he doesn't do it, he lacks his human being. Unbelievable chazal.
What other rounds
is there? There's no such perfection. That's why it's not an halacha. It's not halacha. But this is a sign of perfection. If a person is not Mispal B'Shloim Malchus, it means he's not concerned what happens in Italy. He doesn't care about those creatures, right? But God apparently does. He created them, didn't he? So doesn't he care about them? Oh. There's something wrong if you don't do it. There's something wrong with you. So you're lacking in some way. You're lacking philosophical. This is the real perfection. The other thing, the way it hits a person's emotions, it's just an emotional contrary. This is imperfection. But really, the halacha is, that's halacha. If a person should really see, and I say the word halacha, I mean, that's the way I use halacha, I mean, that's the reality. The reality is that a person sees that there's different countries are breaking up, they're falling apart. That's Mispal B'Shloim Malchus. That's the halacha right over here. What? Because that's our own, because that's our own emotions, our own hatreds towards other people. It's our own animosities that we're projecting. You know, that we, it's our own evil emotions. But the truth of the matter is that it's wrong. You pick up a paper and you see that in Italy the country's falling apart. Mispal B'Shloim Malchus. That's the halacha. That's what he says. From his Gan Hakodesh, he says it right here. It's open. What was the base of Mikdash? The Makriv Shivim Parim. Why? Because that's the real philosophy of the Torah. That's the real philosophy of the Torah. Shloim Malchus. That's what you should really be mispal for. That's the halacha. A person doesn't do it, it means he lacks Avas Hashem. He's lacking Avas Hashem.
And by a
chole? Look at that. And all these halachas. He says, why? He says because he quotes a pasuk. He says because Dark and Shalom, he says. He says, Ram's an interesting Ram. Ram's another day, he says because Dark and Shalom. And then he quotes a pasuk. He says, V'racham of Al-Kol. Hareyu Omer. V'racham of Al-Kol Masav. Kadosh Baruch Hu Zachman Asan Olam Az Maisan. Goy and not Goy, doesn't matter. See? So what's the pshat? Why does it say Dark? He first says Dark and Shalom. It sounds like just Dama's like Dark and Shalom. The answer is that's what the Ram holds Dark and Shalom is. Dark and Shalom is not just Dark and Shalom. Just because you're afraid something's going to happen to you. Dark and Shalom is because that's the Derech of Hashem. That's the V'racham of Al-Kol Masav. That's the Derech Hashem. You see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself created a guy who's sick. Should be Vaka Chayla, help him. It's a Kiyim V'racham of Al-Kol Masa. Every Adam.
I mean, it's a
change. Yeah, every Bria. It's all Balachayim. What? Oh, it should be destroyed. Hitler, the Nazis, the Mach Shmur should be destroyed. Not Mespalit. You know, even Mechuz Mespalit should be Mach Shmur. Mespalit should be destroyed. I don't know if I said, Tamach HaTayim in Oret, HaTayim V'lo Chotim. So the Rav one time said, he said, there's two words. There's chotim and there's chatoyim. Chotim means a person who does an avera. Chatoyim means people whose very essence is avera. A person whose very essence is avera is it means that they're so far gone that it's impossible to return. There's time to feel a shock. Mispala the Nazi, Mispala the Hitler, Mach Shemayim should do tshuva. That's an impossibility. Mispala should be destroyed. It's chatoyim. But chotim means a person is a chotim, everybody's a chotim. Doesn't mean it's inherently evil. The person is inherently evil and Malach has to be destroyed. Malach is Zodin, and Mispal and Rosh Hashanah. Malach is Zodin should be destroyed. That's not, then you stop being a fool if you Mispal and Rosh Hashanah. What kind of Malach is Zodin? It's impossible. It's impossible. That's it. Has to be rationality there. But if a person can, people who are involved in averas, but inherently they're not evil, those people should, you should be, Mispala, should do it the right way. Okay. Kisavir memshela zodoin min aretz. Kisavir memshela zodoin min aretz. That's been maver, that's it. Shvecha moscha lagoyim ashele yaducha. So that's because the Malchus Zodai. Malchus Zodai has been destroyed. That's it. A person went so far that he's it's impossible to return already. So he's inherently evil, and that's it. I mean, you have to be rational about it too. You can't just say always be good. Okay, that's the good. First to try for the good. I mean, doesn't what? Ben Trajan Emer. Shnayim Sheyesh Benayim Deriter. Raise the Moshe Leitzim. Shinema, Moshe Leitzim LeYashav. Okay? Alright, so we took a look at the Rambam. The Rambam's like this. What's the Raya from Moshe Leitzim LeYashav? Moshe Leitzim LeYashav, maybe it's 10 people, 20 people. Why does it always get two? So the Rambam says like this. The Rambam says an interesting thing. He says, Rayasa Shemoshe Leitzim, Yikore Kol Moshe Shemoshe Dabrabo Divrei Torah, Misofa Pasuk, Asher Omar, Ki Im Besaras Hashem Chefzo. Okay. So but the Rambam says like an interesting thing. He says, what's the right from the Pasuk? So because the Pasuk says like this. The Pasuk says first get the facts. So it says, Rayasa Shemoshev Leitzim Mikari Kol Moshev Shemoshev Leitzim, even if it's two. Anyone. Not just yeah, that's what he means. Isn't that interesting? That's good, that's good. In other words, he's not telling you that, he's more telling you, it's not just telling you that it's two. Because really, it could be that, really, it could be two, you can learn from the Moshe Leitzim. That's not bad. The Moshe Leitzim is two. Okay, the Rambam's not talking about the fact that it's two. The Rambam's telling you a raya that how do you know if you don't speak Torah that it's the Moshe Leitzim? That it's either or. So he says, because it says, Kilo Omar Shem Nesha Yechetzo B'Taras Hashem Lo Yeshev Moshe Leitzim She'em B'Taras Hashem. Because it goes like this, according to him. Ashri Yisho lo holach ba'atas rishoyim. V'derach atoyim lo omad. Kama. V'moshev leitzim lo yoshav kim b'sar Hashem chefzo. So why wasn't he Moshev leitzim? Because he wasn't always involved in Taras Hashem. So you see that it's either Taras Hashem or else it's Moshev leitzim. That's good. Very good. That's good. So what is the thing over here? So why is it really... So that's a lot of the pasuk. But now philosophically, what does it mean? What does it mean philosophically? Okay? Yeah. Because it says Shnayim Sheyoshim, I don't think it means that they're physically just sitting. It's because two people just happen to be, their bodies happen to be in the same proximity. I don't think that's considered a moshav. The moshav really means there has to be something going on there. Otherwise, it's not a moshav. If a guy's sitting by a bus depot and another guy comes to sit down next to him, that's not a moshav. I mean, there's no relationship between the two. Moshav means there has to be a relationship. People get together for something. There has to be a relationship between the two. Otherwise,
there's no relationship between the two.
That's not the... what is he saying? But the Pshat is right. He's saying that it's either one or the other. It's either one or the other. So we want to understand, first of all, what's the concept of Moshav Leitzim? What's the concept of Moshav Leitzim? Why is this a terrible thing? Moshav Leitzim LeYoshav. What's the concept? So we said like this. The Pshat is, Moshav Leitzim means like this. That if a person... What's the difference between a person who doesn't have Erebi Yechidus or if he doesn't have Erebi Moshav? So you think like this, that really, what does chait do? Chait does something to the person. It's not just that he does the avera, but chait always attaches a certain importance, becomes attached to it, like I mentioned before. A certain importance becomes attached to that thing. See, now, whenever the one person can never attach that much, there's a qualitative barrier between one person and between more than one. Whenever you have more than one that get together to do something, so that lends the activity importance, you see? Since it lends the activity importance, so this is really the worst thing about the chait, that this not just that he did the avera, but the fact that his value system has changed. It's a breakdown of the value system. A breakdown of the value system only takes place with more than one. When there's another individual, there's an objective entity. If it's just I do it, maybe I'm wrong, you know. But if somebody else does it, we get together. So that already objectifies the activity. And it gives it objective value to the person, to the people who are involved. So far, so much so, we mentioned yesterday. We mentioned we got to the Nazis in Machshavim. See, they asked, how can they do all these things and not really feel bad? Even, I mean, the horrors. The answer is everybody's doing it.
Right.
When people
would like to do it.
That's right. That's the justification. When other people are involved, that justifies your own activities. It gives it objective value. So Moshev Leitzim is when you cross the barrier between a person doing an Avera by himself, alone, or when he has another objective individual who also is involved in the activity. Let's get together to play a game. So the moment you get together to do that, so you're objectively creating a value system here. You're giving value to that activity. The evil is, the reason why it's so bad is, because you're destroying your own value system by doing that. That activity breaks down your value system. And that's why it takes you away from Torah. Yes? Symptomatically, if a person does it by himself, it's worse. That's right. So symptomatically, it's not as bad. See? But simultaneously, if you're going to do the activity and you do it with somebody else, then the activity is worse. You know what I mean?
Because you're attaching
a greater value system to what you're doing. Do it by yourself, you might not necessarily attach this value to it. But this way you're attaching more of a value to it. But symptomatically it's worse. But symptomatically, if you do it by yourself, you see, if you go do a horrible thing by yourself, then it shows you that the person is more corrupt than the other individual. See? But on the other hand, if you're going to engage in an activity, works both ways. You're going to engage in activity, and you engage in activity yourself might not do you so much harm. You engage in activity with somebody else who objectively considers it valuable, then you're changing, you're breaking down your value system to a greater degree. Okay. Now the thing is, now why is it the thing that you mentioned before, the dynamic before, that's either or? It's either Moshe Leitzim or the Reiter has to attach value to one thing or another. So either he's going to attach value to the Moshe Leitzim, to the nonsense, or else he's going to attach value to Torah. That's the pasuk really. Well, Moshe Leitzim lo yashav ki im b'saras Hashem chatzo. That his value, his the emotion of attaching value, this state of this psychological mechanism of attaching value, must go either here or there. You see? There's no in between. There's no in between. There's no state in which it doesn't exist. Neutral state. It's either A or B. That's the way it is. Okay. Aval shnayim sheyoshvim v'yesh b'neim d'retar shkina b'neim shenemar oz nidbru yirei Hashem ish al re'eyu v'yakshav Hashem v'yishmo v'yichtev sefer zikaron lefonov v'yirei Hashem l'chosh v'yishmo. Okay. Okay, yesterday. We're not talking about a person that does something because he has to. Like the Rambam says, even a person on a very high level, on the level of B'chol Rachav Da'eyo, he says, if he's in a situation where he's emotionally under stress, so he has to leave the Gemara and go out and take a walk on the mountains or whatever it is, see beautiful things, to bring himself back, restore his psychological makeup. That's not Moshe Leitzim. We're talking about Moshe Leitzim where a person is in a situation where he can learn. Yeah, he can learn, and instead he chooses to do something. We're not talking about a person that needs an outlet, a psychological outlet for a certain activity, because then he's only doing that in order to be able to be free to learn. That's a different purpose. You know what I mean? We're talking about a person who's doing it, he has the choice, he can really sit and learn, and he doesn't need anything. But now he chooses to involve himself in an activity which is wasteful. You know what I mean? We're not talking about it, because certain things a person has to do, because he needs an outlet. A person has to do certain things. I mean, can't say a person, you know what I'm saying? It's not talking about that. Okay. Now he quotes the pasuk. He says, "But if two learn Torah, the shekhinah is b'neihem." Shenemar oz nibriya shemish oriyel. So we do is we went through that perek of Malachi. Very interesting words over here that the Navi says. He says like this. Starts with Malachi Gimel Yud Gimel. Chosku alai devrechem Amar Hashem. God says that your words were very strong against me. And it says, Va'amartem, and you will say, Ma nidbanu alacha. What do we speak against you? Then God says back, Amartem, you said, Shav avod alakim. Umabetza ki shamarnu mishmarto, v'chi alachnu k'doranis mitnei ad Hashem tzvakas. Va'ato anachnu mashrim zedim. And now we have to praise those who are evil or wicked. Gam nivnu osir risha. Those who do rishas are built up, established. Gam bachanu alakim. They even defied God. They said, well, let's see God strike me down if I'm doing this. Vayimaleto, and they escaped. They were successful. So that's what they said. Interesting thing. So first of all, the question is, what's this dialogue? God says to the people, you spoke against me. And he says, and you will say, what did we speak against you? And then God tells them, you said, Shavavot Olakim. So what, they didn't know this? Even though they were lying to God. You know what I mean? It's another thing. God says, you spoke against me. Then they say, what did we speak against you? Then God tells them what they spoke. So they did speak. So what were they arguing with God? You mean they were just trying to deny it? Shah's like this. And then you have the next pasuk. Oz nidbur yura Hashem ish yor ea v'yakshav shem v'yishma. Okay, what's going on here in the Navi? So he said like this. That really, when God says to them, you spoke against me. What does it mean, you spoke against me? It means you said something, when you speak against somebody, it means you say something that's not true. I mean, you say something that's true, that's a reality, it's not against God, that's the way the reality is. They said like this. They said, that in worshiping God there is nothing to be gained in terms of how the world works out. Why? Because look what happened. The Rishoyim are on top, and we are serving them. They're established. They, and not only that, but they even defied God and nothing happened to them. So this isn't against God. Isn't it true? It's true that way. So what do you mean it's against God? Is it against God to say the truth? It's not against God to say the truth. See? What they said was nothing wrong. They said that's the way it is. So if you think that by doing mitzvahs, you're going to be in a situation where you're going to be on top, and you're going to be successful, and you're not going to have to count out to the ever, you're wrong. People could defy God, they could be the worst Rishoyim, they could be Zaydim, they could be the worst people in the world, and they are on top, and they have control, and you have nothing. That's the fact. So that's why they said, what do we speak against God? That's the truth. Oh. But God said, no, you did speak against me. Where do you speak against me? If that's the way it is, that's the reality. God is the one that knows that the reality is so where do you speak against God? Oh. So the next pasuk tells me that. It says, Oz Nidbur Yiri Hashem Isha Re'il. Then those who feared God spoke one to another. And God listened, and he heard, and he wrote it down in the Sefer Zikaron before him, Liyiri Hashem, to those who fear God, Ulechosh Le'shemo, and those who give who value his name. What's the pshat over here? First question we asked was, what did they speak about, the Yiri Hashem? It says, Oz Nidbur Yiri Hashem Isha Re'il. What did they talk about? What were they discussing? It doesn't say a word. As they were talking, and then God heard and wrote down Sefer Zikaron.
What did he write?
What did they say? Then it says, "Liyirei Hashem," to those who fear God, "Lachosh Veshemo," and those who value His name. What is the pshat? Why does it say "Chosh Veshemo"? So we said like this. We said that's what the Pirkei Avos answers. Pirkei Avos says, "What did they speak? What did they say?" Pirkei Avos says one thing. What did they say? What did they speak really? Pirkei Avos. What does it say? They spoke Torah. That's what it says. It says, Minayim Shnayim Sha'iskim Atash Shinim Beinayim Shinim Oz Nidbur Yerushim Shariyos. What are they talking about? Talking and learning. That's what it's talking about. So how does this fit in with before? It fits in with before very well. Because the pshat is like this. You see, the other people, their love of God was based upon one thing. It was based upon the fact that if we're good and we follow God, then we will have an existence in which the world will be organized in a way, in a just way. That we are on top, that we have, they're not asking for more than they deserve, but their love of God is tied in with God's revelation of justice, implementation of justice in this world. That's what it's based upon. They said there's no reason, you see it doesn't work. Right? It's not true. Oh. So then it's like this. But the Yirei Hashem, that's not why they love God. Their love of God isn't based upon anything that he does in terms of their political situation. It has nothing to do with it. It's based upon an inherent love of Torah. Because God is the source of all chachma. And their love of God is just based upon that. It's an impossibility not to love God. Because once he realizes that God is the source of chachma and he loves chachma, so no matter what happens, it doesn't matter. The Avos Hashem still remains the same. So Oz Nidbaru, at that time, when all this political, when the political injustices were taking place, didn't bother the Yirei Hashem. The Yirei Hashem, what are we going to do? We have to learn. It's bad. It's not good. But it has nothing whatsoever to do with their essential relationship to God. An interesting thing, it says, Oz Nidbaru Yirei Hashem Yishoreya. Why doesn't it say Oz Dibru Yirei Hashem Yishoreya? What's Nidbaru? See, Nidbaru is Nifal. What does Nifal mean? Nifal is automatic. It's automatic. Dibru, you understand? Nidbaru. They were speaking automatically because their relationship to God is such that it's a constant thing. They're automatically talking about it because that's part of their nature. So it says, "Vayakshar Hashem Yishmor." The custom says, "According to the year, Hashem Olachosh Veshemo." And those who know His essence, those who know, those who are Machshiv Shemo, Shem means the essence. That's what Ebenezer says. He says, "Chosh Veshemo." Heim Chachmei Lev Yodei Sod Hashem Anichbad Vanora. They understand, of course, the Sod as far as a person can. They understand something about God. Their relationship to God is related to His essence, not to His actions. You see? They're related to God not because of the fact that He implements justice in the world and they're living in a good way. But they're related because the essence of God is the Makar HaChachma. And since He's the Makar HaChachma, He's the Makar of Torah, so they're Chosh Veshemo, not because of this happened, that occurrence. So at that time, when everybody was in chaos, about the fact that there's an injustice going on in the world, the Yirei Hashem were unaffected. They weren't affected. They were still Nidbaru Isho Re'eu. They just happened to be talking and learning because that's the only thing to do, because they're attracted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of His essence. They're not attracted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of side things. This happened, that happened. Is God good? Is He not good? Look what this happened, that. It has nothing to do with it. They're essentially related to God. Chosh Veshemo, they're related to His essence. Yodim Sod Hashem. They understand the essence of God. So that's the that's what it means. That's how the Pirkei Avos types up the pasuk. Oz nidburu. What were they talking about? They were talking about learning.
This
talking about learning.
The raya
this is the raya.
It's difficult.
Why? What it means is like this. Oz nidburu yirashem ish yareel means they were talking about learning, right? They were talking about learning. That's what it means. It's like minayim she'osk matara. Now vayachev Hashem la'ishri understand is metaphorical. It doesn't mean that he went down to listen to what they're going to say. That's not what it means. It means that when people are talking and learning, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is listening. Always. Not just then. Always he's listening. What does it mean he's listening? It doesn't mean that he's listening, that he actually wants to find out this. What it means is that this activity is one which is the only one in which you're related to God. When a person is talking and learning, when it's Nidbur Yir Hashem Isharayu, then God, what it means by God is listening, it means is that this is a part of his, this is now you're relating to God. That's what it means. Vayakir Hashem Yishma. You see? You understand? Vayikosev, and it became written as safe as Ikaron Lafanav, the words that they were saying, because they are really related to God. Because the words that they are talking have a relationship to God. It doesn't. You understand what I'm saying? What? Mimela. Right.
Right.
Vayikosev. Became Mimela. Why? Because when a person is talking and learning, he's really relating to God in the right, in the true way, then God is listening. What does it mean God is listening? It means there's a relationship there. It doesn't mean really God listens. It means that there's a relationship there between God and between these people. That's what Chazal say. That's why you see that two people that are Oiskim B'Torah, that the Shechina B'Neihem. Shechina B'Neihem means that God relates to them at that moment. God is relating to them. Like Kosef Seif as Ikaron Lafanav. Now, an interesting thing, the Rambam says over here, he says, what's the difference between one and between two? So he quotes the Gemara in Brachas. See what he says? The Gemara in Brachas is like this. He says, the Gemara says, V'chimei achar, minayin lechat sheyesh meis v'tar shechinim, or shnei mechom ha'kosh yaskash mi'o v'lechem v'artikha. V'chimei achar, afilu echod, even by one, the shechinim is b'neim, t'shrei mi'boi, why do you have to have two? T'shrei mechtevi mi'layo b'sefer ha'zachronis. Because it says, v'yakshav, v'yikosef sefer z'kan l'fonav. You see? So what's in between two and between one? So he said like this. Because by one, the person is involved in the correct activity. He's involved in the activity of thought. So of course he's related to God. But it's not yet vayikosev sefer zikaron. Why? Because there's two levels of thought. One level of thought is where a person is thinking about, he's working on the ideas, he's thinking it out. But it's not yet nitanli kosev. Nitanli kosev is a different level. That's if the person crystallized his thought and he worked it out. That's only with shnayim. Because by Shnayim, Talmud Torah can only be nicknamed with Arichas Vasayim and with Pupul Chaverim. Because that's when it's crystallized. Once it's crystallized, then it's Vayikosev Sefer Zikaron Lafanav. Then those ideas are written before God. Because those are the ideas that are neatly kosev. That's the difference between the two. That's the show. What? What?
Okay, in the last couple of years, we've gone through Pirkei Avos from the beginning. And we're up to Perek Gimel now, and the continuation of Perek Avos Gimel, Mishnah Gimel, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Gimel, is on Kisvei Chachamim 57. So refer to there.